We're in a theme called Why. We ask ourselves, for what reason, what purpose? Many of us ask that every day in many situations. Why am I at this job? Why am I here? Why do I have a wacky family? Why am I at this restaurant? So many questions we ask ourselves daily. Why do I have to have this teacher? Why do I have to have this class? Why do I have to have this? Because we're curious. The brain wants to develop. It wants to understand why. To make connections, to explore, to understand concepts, to learn new information. We ask ourselves many times every Sunday in this theme, are we here simply by a chance, or are we here for a reason? And if we are here for a reason and purpose, then does our life, our thought patterns, our feelings, our financial spending, our actions, how we walk, talk, and dress, does it reflect the purpose and why I'm here? Or simply, do all of our actions reflect, I'm just living life. Just doing the best that I can to live. We live on this beautiful planet Earth. And that name, Earth, simply is meaning the ground, the soil. We know that the Earth orbits the Sun at a speed of 67,000 miles per hour, completing one orbit in 1 year, 365 days. We know that the Earth is tilted 23.4 degrees on its axis, which is the reason that we have four seasons. We know because of the Earth's rotation, there is day and night. The Earth, the largest mountain range on Earth, is called the Mid-Ocean Ridge, and it's found underwater. The coldest place on Earth, Antarctic, which hit a negative 136, seems like a lovely place to visit. The hottest place on Earth, this might sound familiar, Death Valley, California, hit a record high of 134 degrees. All of us in here, all of us watching, specific, we're distinct, the combination of our experiences, our perspectives, our personality traits, the skills, the beliefs. This morning, do you believe that God created you uniquely? Do you fully believe with everything that you have within you, that God made you for a specific reason, to give you the identity and the purpose that He had planned for you? God has given us a sense of self, this complex physical, mental, personality, our beliefs, the values that we have. We are so unique. Our humanness, we were created for connection and we're created for love. Part of something larger than myself, to feel secure, safe, so to have security, acceptance, the need to feel acknowledged and seen. Most people every day look for an emotional, financial security, the need to fit in, to be included, to belong to something or someone, to grow, the need to feel like I'm helping here, to find purpose, to find development. Or are we really that complex? Are we just here by chance? Have you been designed by a creator? Were you simply just plopped onto this earth? Do we live with purpose? Are we just living by chance, by some breath, some fleeting moment? Are we living in honor of our Creator, God above? Or are we just simply living for ourselves this morning? We're going to go to Genesis chapter 13. And we're going to start in verse 1. It says that Abram left Egypt and traveled north into the Negev along with his wife and Lot, his nephew, and all that they owned. Abram was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. From the Negev, they continued traveling by the stages, in stages toward Bethel, and they pitched their tents between Bethel and Ai, where they had camped before. This was the same place where Abram had built the altar, and there he worshiped the Lord again. Verse 5, Lot was traveling with Abram, had also become very wealthy, with flocks of sheep and goats and herds of cattle and many tents. But the land could not support both Abram and Lot with all their flocks, herds living so close together. So disputes broke out between the herdsmen of Abram and Lot. And at that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land. Finally, Abram said to Lot, listen, let's not allow this conflict to come between us or our herdsmen After all, we're close relatives. The whole countryside is open to you. Take your choice of any section of land you want, and we will separate. If you want the land to your left, I'll go to the land on the right. If you prefer the land on the right, I'll go to the left. So Lot took a long look. Turn to your neighbor and say, he took a long look. And he took a long look at the fertile plains of the Jordan Valley in the direction of Zoar. The whole area, it was well watered. It looked like the garden of the Lord or the beautiful land of Egypt. This was before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot chose for himself the whole Jordan Valley to the east of them. He went there with his flocks and servants and parted company with his uncle Abraham. Verse 12, so Abram settled in the land of Canaan, and Lot moved his tents to a place near Sodom and settled among the cities of the plain. But the people of this area were extremely wicked, and they constantly sinned against the Lord. After Lot had gone, the Lord said to Abram, look as far as you can see in every direction, north, south, east, west. I'm giving you all this land, as far as you can see, to you and your descendants as a permanent possession. I will give you so many descendants that like the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. Go and walk through the land in every direction I'm giving it to you. So Abraham moved his camp from Hebron, and he settled near the oak grove belonging to Mamre. There he built another altar to the Lord. And so this morning, as we get into the text, we get into our story, we get into the people and the places, we know that it opens with a man named Abram. And we know that what is so special about the man of Abram? Abram had the call of God on his life. Was he special? Was he unique? Yes, of course he was. Was he the only one that God called out to? No. No, he wasn't. But you know who he was? He was the only one who listened. And in listening, he was the only one who decided to do something about it. Abram, the man of our story, the man of the text today, the man of the hour, was someone who had the call of God on his life. And why did he have the call of God on his life? Because he listened. And not only in listening, he decided to do something about what he was listening. And God calls out to Abram and says, Abram, I want to make you great. I want to make your name famous. I want to bless you. And anybody who curses you, I'm going to smack them around. I'm going to bless those who bless you, and I'm going to curse those who curse you. God gave this great blessing to this man. He listened, he saw, he looked for, and he followed after God. And because he followed after God, he was blessed in every way, financially, with healing, provision, protection. Didn't mean he was perfect, but Abram was a man who followed the call of God. You know today that there is over 11,000 licensed FM radio stations. Seeing simply for Abram, no matter how many radio stations he listened to, he just tuned into one. He tuned into the station of God. There are so many choices. Just like today, every single one of us in here this morning, we are guided by other things and other people. We are. The human basic desire is what? The two greatest things? Connection and love. Our basic needs, people, what? Connection and love. We are guided by people, places, or things. Everywhere we go and everything that we do, there is something that wants to lead and direct our lives. But the reason that this man became so prosperous and so blessed and protected and provided for was what? He only tuned into God the majority of his life. He turned into the right channel. And because he tuned into the right channel, everybody who was in this circle, how many of us know there's a circle of life? From watching Lion King, we know that there's a circle of life. Because the circle of life, because Abram tuned into God, and because he was so blessed, his cup ran over every single day. And you know who's there catching the blessings? Lot. Lot was catching the blessing from his uncle because Abram was so blessed and he was so fortunate to be around his uncle Abram. God promised anybody who blesses you will be blessed. Anybody who curses you will be cursed. And so Lot, his nephew, became so blessed because of his uncle Abraham. If we miss out on a provision from the Lord, if we miss out on being healed by God, if we miss out on God covering our back, going before us, going behind us, going all around us, if there's something we miss, would it be God's fault or would it be our fault? If we miss out on God's best and we settle for so much less, if we miss out on the best of God, if we miss out on the best that God has for us, if we miss out on the blessing, is it God's fault or is it our fault? And I think it's our fault. Why? Because many of us tune into the wrong channel. God's blessing, his provision, his protection. Lot, such a wonderful young man, you know, he followed his uncle. His dad passed away tragically in a fire. And so his nephew, Lot, was brought from Uncle Abram. Anywhere he was going, he was taking his nephew, and he was teaching him, and he was showing him the way. He was showing him the ropes, so to speak. And so his nephew was very, very, very lucky because he was blessed. And he was blessed because of his uncle. But he didn't realize, how many of us know sometimes, I know a lot of people, and I know all of us in here, we all know a lot of people, where life starts going good, and then they kind of just pull back from God just a little bit. And then when life starts going bad, then they start getting closer to God again. Life gets a little good, okay, I can just pull back from God, I can just pull back from this, I can pull back from that. Lot in his life, he got so comfortable because he was what? He was living a blessed life. But why was he so blessed? Was Lot blessed of something that he did? Was Lot blessed because where he was? Or was Lot blessed simply because of the uncle that he had? He lost sight of where the blessing comes from. Have we ever lost sight this morning of where God's blessing, where his blessing comes from? We know that in Deuteronomy, if you want the blessing of God, you have to learn to obey. God says if you obey, then you will learn and see all these blessings. But sometimes even when we forget where God's blessing comes from. And I think in this story to understand through thinking, through having thoughts, Lot, because he became so rich, he started thinking, I can go anywhere and I can do anything. Man, I can do whatever I want. How many of us know cocky people who say, I can go anywhere and I can do anything. I'm powerful. And I think this is where Lot's head, unfortunately, it got to a space of thinking that he can do anything, he can go anywhere, he can do what he wants. But unfortunately, in this story, we see that Lot forgot and he ignored something. He ignored the truth that was right in front of him. And that was, he did not have a relationship with God the Creator. His uncle did. Lot did not have the access to personal blessing. His uncle did. Lot was not supremely blessed, provided for, and protected for by God. His uncle was. Lot walked away from the biggest truth, the biggest blessing that he had. He walked away from it. Why? Because sometimes we walk away from truth because we start getting big in our own heads. Sometimes this morning we can get prideful. We can get big in our own heads when we do certain things that we walk away from truth. Virtually, when you start getting into your own head, we know that what happens. A lot of times a fight breaks out. And in the story, there was land. I can't imagine. We have, you know, a good amount of open land here in beautiful Hemet Valley. But back then, there was no big houses and castles like the ones we live in. How much open land was there? There was so much land. But even though there was so much land, to them it looked little. And because it looked so little, it looked like they started feeling claustrophobic. Hey, maybe you need to go this way, and I'm going to come this way. They started fighting. They were getting angry with each other. It's amazing how easily we as people fight over the dumbest little things. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen how sometimes we can get so angry and fight over the stupidest little things? Why is it that as humans, as people, why do we like to fight sometimes and argue and disagree over stupid little things? These people were family. Isn't family supposed to take care of one another? This is Uncle Abram, Nephew Lot. This is all their money, all their wealth, sitting in one place, in one valley. Shouldn't they be looking out for each other? Shouldn't they be taking care of one another? But somewhere along the line, even Lot's workers, Abram's workers, they started fighting. They started not liking each other. How many of us have seen friends and family who become angry and hateful and bitter towards other people because they're invaded in my space? This is my space, and you've invaded my space. Luckily, and hopefully all of us know at least one good peacemaker, because in this story, there was a man named Abram. He was the man of the hour. He was the man who was blessed, provided for, protected by God. God had this man's back. But he was the one who stepped in when the nephew maybe should have said, you know what, Uncle Abram, you're my uncle. I shouldn't fight with you about this. Shouldn't the younger person went to his uncle and said, I should respect you and I'm sorry. The nephew in the story didn't do any of that. Who was it? It was the godly person, the godly man who stepped in and said, you know what, we need to have peace. Yes, there's growing pains, but we need to have peace. We're family. We shouldn't fight. James 3:18 says, those who are peacemakers plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. God blesses those who work for peace because they're going to be called the children of God. We're family. We shouldn't fight. Those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. And so in the story, Uncle Abraham, he was the man who was the godly man. He was the man who made the right choices. He steps in to be the peacemaker. And I wonder when frustration happens in life, when we get angry, when we get mad and we get frustrated, are we the ones who are the peacemaker trying to make peace? Or are we on the other side where let's go, put up your dukes, come on, come on, let's go. What's the benefit of being the peacemaker? The peacemaker plants seeds of peace and reaps righteousness. What's the blessing from being a peacemaker? Jesus said you will be called a son or daughter of God. Old man Abraham in the story, he turns to his nephew and says, you know what? I'm going to give you the choice. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. I'll go left, you go right. I'll go right, you go left. You get a pick, though. Lot, you get a pick. You can go anywhere you want to. And we know that, what did it say? Lot took a long look. And where did he take a long look to? He took a long look at a place that was said to be very evil, very dark. There was bad things happening there. There was a lot of grotesque things that if you read on the Bible, men, women that did disgusting, gross, horrible things. Now, Lot, he takes a long look, but the land looks beautiful. Man, you see that stream? Kuna Matata. Right? Wow, this looks beautiful. This looks amazing. I just go and do. Man, you know what? Maybe I won't move directly in the city. If I live maybe, you know, a mile outside the city, and I'm going to park my tent outside the city, you know, then I'm not so close to evil people. But how many of us, if we follow the story of Lot, so at this moment in his life, he takes his tent, he takes his family, he takes all his wealth, and he moves outside of one of the wickedest cities in that day. He parks outside, but you know what happens over time? The music inside sounds so good. Oh, they're playing my song. Oh, wow. Look at all the activities. They got bingo going on. They're giving away $5,000 tonight. Lot and his family become attracted More and more as the days go on, where they decided they were going to camp outside of the city. We're not going to move around evil people. We're going to stay our distance. We're going to swim in the lake. We're going to play right here. It's going to be perfect. As time goes on, what did he do? He started to make choices as the attraction of the evil in the city. It pulled him in. It pulled his family in. Lot's life that was so blessed, that was so good, it just started going out of control. Next thing you know, for Lot, he gets kidnapped, he gets captured. Who rescues Lot down the road? His uncle Abram. Then next thing you know, God comes in and does what? He destroys the whole city because he is so disgusted with the evil and how gross it was. Unfortunately for Lot's wife, she dies because she doesn't listen to instructions. God, the angel, gave specific instructions. Leave and don't look back. She didn't listen. And so she lost her life. Lot's life got worse. But why did it get worse? Because he got in his head. He started thinking to himself, I can go anywhere I want. I can do anything. Look at all that I've gathered. Yes, I'm with my uncle, but I'm rich now, just like my uncle. He lost sight of where the wealth came from. He lost sight of where good things came from. Lost sight of all the things that he had gathered in his life. Then he started thinking to himself, this is what I got. And what did he do? He just started living life by what looks good, what sounds good. Even if there's a little evil over there, I could be strong. There are so many people. How many people over the years, men or women who married someone who said, oh, I'm going to change her to be a better woman, or I'm going to change him to be a better man. And what happens? Most of the time, 9 times out of 10, doesn't happen. They marry an evil person, and that person stays what? Evil. So many people make bad choices over and over again. Why? Because it looks good. It sounds good. They're wealthy. They have money. Do you know, one day, it's kind of crazy, we could make up to 35,000 decisions. Have you ever at the end of the day said, man, I'm just beat. I'm wiped out. That's because our brain making conscious decisions up to 35,000 times in one day. Thousands of little choices. Every day we make thousands and thousands of little choices. And maybe some days there's handfuls of bigger decisions. Lot made a big decision on this day that forever changed the course of his life. Why? Because it looked good. He looked good. She looked good. They looked good. But what happened? It continued in progression. And it got worse. And it got worse. Until he lived and was surrounded by dark, evil people. We look at this story and we see Abram, how come he didn't make the choice of what land to take, where to go? Abram, in his head, he learned, I don't need to just go make choices based on how they look or sound. I just make my choices based on what God wants me to do. The blessing that God had given to Abram, he'd become accustomed to that blessing, but he didn't want to lose that blessing. He did not want to give away that blessing. He didn't want to give away that protection. He didn't want to give away the provision and the protection and the blessing of God. And so he did not have to just make decisions based on looks good, sounds good. It feels right. This feels right. It looks right. So I'm just going to do it. Abram was a man who learned to make decisions based on God. He followed God. He listened to God. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 1. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went in to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for the lamps, and the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and they fell asleep. At midnight they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. The five foolish ones asked the others, "Hey, can you please give your oil because our lamps are going out?" But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourself." But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Those who were ready went in with him, the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Sorry if that didn't go to there. Verse 11. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you. You too, you must keep watch because you do not know the day or hour of my return." Can you imagine being invited to a wedding? And I love how they had weddings. Their weddings and wedding feasts, they weren't just a, how many of us know now, you know, sometimes people will plan a year in advance for a wedding, months in advance for a wedding. They will spend the day, there's prep, there's food, there's all these choices to be made for the wedding. But these weddings, they lasted days, sometimes weeks. These people had parties and parties and parties and parties and feasts for a wedding celebration. It was a big deal. Weddings were a big, big deal. 10 bridesmaids were selected, and they were selected to have this lamp that they would carry at night because the groom would come, and they would have to light a path for the groom. They would have to take the oil and the lamp, and then when it was dark, and then the groom was ready, and they're getting ready to go in, they would light this path for the groom to go in. Five of the girls, if you know you were selected to do this, said they were wise. They prepared themselves and they got ready. The other five, it's just another wedding, just another feast. I don't feel like going to the store, spending my own money. I don't feel like giving any extra right now. I don't feel like putting any extra effort into this right now. We'll just make it through this wedding, just like a whole nother wedding, just like another feast. No big deal. We'll get through it. When the groom came and the girls are all screaming and shouting, "Oh my gosh, it's time. Woo!" They stand up and the five girls who were not prepared could not do the one thing they were asked to do because they did not plan ahead. Whether they were tired, whether they were lazy, whether they were afraid, we don't know the reason, but they did not and were not willing to plan ahead for the moment for a reason. And because of that, they were locked out. Jesus is actually sharing a story about heaven and hell. It is the bridesmaids, kind of weird situations, but us as a symbol of them planning, preparing for the moment and the day when we get called to heaven. As Christians, as children of God, as sons and daughters, called to light the path for the groom Jesus, as the end of the world comes, to be planned, to be prepared. We know another part of Scripture, Jesus said, "Listen, when the Son of Man returns, it's going to be like in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, people were enjoying banquets and parties, woo, weddings, right up to the time Noah entered his boat. They had every reason. I can live life and do whatever I want to. No one's going to tell me what to do. I make all the bad choices. I don't care who I hurt. I'm going to this party. I'm going to this banquet. I'm going to do whatever I want to do." Verse 39. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them away. That's how it's going to be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working, one taken, the other left. Two women grinding flour at the mill, one taken, the other left. You too must keep watch, for you do not know what day the Lord is coming. Understand, if a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming in, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You must be ready all the time. Jesus wants us to be ready for him. How much? All the time. Jesus wants us to be ready all the time. Will we know the time? Absolutely not. Do we need to be talking about it all the time? Do we need to be talking about when he's coming back? Or do we just need to be ready for him all the time? It says, "For the Son of Man will come when least expected. A faithful servant who has little sense is the one who the master maybe will give some responsibility to, managing the other household to feed them. But if the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there's going to be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all that he owns. But what if the servant is evil and thinks, my master's not going to be back for a while? He begins beating the other servants, partying, getting drunk. The master will return unannounced, unexpected, and he's going to cut the servant into pieces. God, you just love the gruesome stories in the Bible, right? Cut the servant into pieces and assign him a place where the hypocrites. In that place, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. How many of us, you know, sometimes our parents, you know, maybe were strict, but then they kind of eased up a little bit. And so sometimes how many kids learned, well, I can be naughty and I'm going to get away with it. And sometimes those naughty kids grow into adults and they're still thinking, I can be a little naughty and I can get away with it. Jesus describing people who, when the master's away, when the teacher's away and it's a substitute, what do? They act naughty. He says the servant, the person, is going to party, get drunk and beat other people, hurt other people, just do whatever they want to do. Jesus said, I'm going to come back at a time when no one knows. I'm going to come at a time when nobody knows. And so this morning, as we think about Lot, such a wonderful person, and we think about the stories that I just read about Jesus, and then at the end, how do we pull these together? We know that at the end, it says people are going to be lovers of themselves. Do we see that today? Oh, yeah. It says people will be disobedient to their parents. We see that? Yeah, sometimes. People will become hard-hearted. It says love will grow cold. There's going to be wars. Do we see wars today? Yep. There's going to be earthquakes. Are there earthquakes? Sure is. Famine, sickness. Do we see that? Oh, yeah. All the things are there. Everything that's happening in Europe and Israel today, it's already been spoken about. It's all unfolding as it should. We know that the end, it could be next week, it could be in 2 weeks, it could be in a year, it could be at any moment. In the story, we had two men, Abram and Lot. Abram found his way because he tuned into the channel of God, and he stayed tuned in. Jesus said, those who endure to the end will be saved. It didn't say, if you accept me in the beginning and you have a good run, but then you falter a little bit, you're still going to make it. Did Jesus say that? No. He said, if you endure until the very end. So if you fight the good fight, if you give your life to me and you fight like hell every single day for truth, for the word of God, if you don't give up, if you don't give in, if you endure with every single thing that you got, if you push away darkness, if you give up selfish ways and go into parties and hang around with evil people, if you endure to the end, if you share the truth, if you share the gospel, if you live for me and endure to the very end, Jesus said you'll have a place in heaven. Lot, on the other hand, like many people, he thought, I'm always going to be okay because someone's going to take care of me. I'm always going to be blessed because the blessing I have didn't come from me. I'm always going to be okay. I'm always going to be provided for. I'm always going to be protected for. Lot did not have a relationship with God, and he paid for his life, his wife's life, his daughter's life, and he saw hundreds of people die from fire from heaven being burned in their city because they were so evil. He saw all these things. Why? Because he chose not to obey and follow God like his uncle did. This is the days that we live in. What did Jesus say? It's like the days of Noah. What are people doing? Eating, drinking. Are we eating? Yeah, I think most of us in here are eating. Are we drinking? Doesn't have to mean it's alcohol. I'm sure all of us are drinking, right? Do we go to weddings? Yeah, sure do, right? Do we go to parties and get-togethers? Yeah, check all the things. People are so busy and so distracted. There's 11,000 radio stations. They can't tune into the one. They're distracted by everything else. We are in the end. And no matter what I say, and no matter how many different pastors and preachers talk about the end, none of it. It doesn't really matter. The thing that matters is, are you ready to stand before God, your creator? Abram made right choices. because he trusted in God. His nephew did not, and he paid for it. There are many people, Jesus said, what did he say? And it sounds horrible. They're going to be cut into little pieces. They didn't say they're going to be cut into one big piece, just cut them in half, chop them up, throw them in the fire. You do not want to be here when the end happens and be on the other side. It will be hell on earth. Abram was ready. Lot was not. Many, Jesus said, one will be taken, the other left. One man, right? One girl, one taken, the other left. So if we were to look at that this morning, how many of us in here, hopefully, every single one of us, we're ready to stand before God. We've endured. We've given our life. We're following. But the truth is, probably not every single one of us are living for Jesus to the best that we can, the best of our abilities. And I wonder in here this morning, do we rely, do we trust on someone else or in something else? Do we rely and trust that we said a prayer 5 years ago? Do we rely and trust? I've changed. I've made improvements. I've watched the show Home Improvements. I've made my spiritual improvements. I'm better than who I used to be. Those are all good things, but Jesus didn't say that's how you're going to get to heaven. No man knows. Only the one who endures, who fights the good fight until the very end. We see the contrast between two people. A man who made his choices based on what? Looks good, sounds good, feels good. And he paid for it. The other man, he made his choices based on what? I'm just going to keep following Jesus. I'm just going to keep on trusting in my God. Man, that city of Sodom and Gomorrah, it looked so good. They had ropes hanging by the rivers where they're swinging in, they're jumping in, they're jumping off the little cliffs into the rivers. They're having such a good time, they're fishing. Man, it looks like good, clean, innocent fun. But what was happening on the inside? Whew! So much darkness. So as we close, we wrap up this morning, we pull that story, we pull the thoughts of Jesus and being ready. We ask ourselves, am I ready to meet God? Am I ready for myself? Not ready because my family, my friends, not ready because someone told me to. Do I know that I'm ready? I'm absolutely ready to meet God right now. If I have to, I am ready right this second. I am ready. This morning, ask yourself, if I'm ready, who else have I made ready? Who else have I made ready? Who else have I helped to be ready to meet God? Am I the one in the story more like Lot or Abram? Am I the one who's making my decisions based on banquets, parties, weddings, looks good, sounds good, feels good? Or I'm making decisions upon what God put me here to do? Our theme, what's it called? It's called why. Why? Why? For what reason? For what purpose? God is coming back. God is coming back. And I don't know about you. I don't know if he wants us to be wasting our time if time is so precious. Do you consider your time precious every single day? If I'm making 35,000 decisions every single day, there's a lot going on up here. If I'm making 35,000 decisions up here every single day, there's a lot going on in my head, right? There's a lot going on in your head. If this is the end, should we be wasting our time because we think we just need to live life? And how many of us this morning, we're just trying to live, but we're not living enough for our King and for our God? Many of us have learned in life that it's easier to kind of learn from mistakes, unfortunately. And sometimes, no matter what people tell us, no matter what people say to us ahead of time and beforehand, we end up learning from our mistakes. And I think Lot in the story, you know, obviously if he could have gone back and done it all over again, he wouldn't have gone his own way. He wouldn't have gone and lived by dark people. He went and lived and gotten close to dark people. Lot should have just said, you know what, uncle? Should have, would have, could have. I'm just going to follow behind you. I'll keep my distance We'll keep our distance. But God is working in you, and I need to be behind you. Because as God is working in you, God is working in me. But Lot thought, I can get there on my own. And he couldn't, and he didn't. Many of us this morning, we're trying to do things on our own. Do we have to find our own way? Ah, it's already actually laid out right here. The way is laid out right here. We need to find who we are. You don't have to look too far. It's right here. Why am I here? Why did God put me here? It's all right here. Why? For what reason? For what purpose? When we walk out of here today, we know that, yeah, we shoulda, coulda, woulda. I can. I will. God puts certain people in our lives sometimes. And as God puts certain people in our life, like Abraham and Lot, they were family. They're together. God puts church families together. And sometimes there's fights arise. There's disagreements everywhere. There's fights everywhere we go. Disagreements everywhere we go in everything that we do. There's 8.2 billion people on this planet. It's a lot. It's a lot of people. There's a lot of people. We're all different shapes, sizes, colors. Does God have his favorites? Is God nicer to some? Does God just choose to bless certain people because they're nicer? No. He blesses those who are tuned in to his channel. That's it. He calls out to everybody. You want to be blessed? You want to follow me? You want to be provided? You want to make it to heaven one day? Stay in my channel. How many of us, we keep turning it off? They're playing my song over here. God, I got to turn off your channel real quick. Let me go to this channel over here. I encourage you this morning. Jesus said, be ready. When? All the time. And are we living ready all the time? I have 5 beautiful, wonderful kids, 2 dogs, beautiful wife. I work a very busy job, very hectic, busy, stressful job. I have to find time. My company expects a lot of me. They do. They expect a lot of me. And you know, when I first started, and many of us, I think, probably similar, when you first start for a company, you know, you want to do everything you can because you don't want to get fired, you know? You want to do all the right things. You know, but the longer you're there, seniority, what happens? You can get a little comfortable. There's a lot of people who get comfortable with God because we think, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing God for a long time. Comfort, it's never a good thing because God continually wants to stretch us and get us out of that comfort zone. If you're not serving, if you're not giving, if you're not following after God, maybe you've turned the channel, and maybe you've gotten a little comfortable. Where is God calling you today? Lot ran and hid. Lot ran and hid, and he paid for his life. Abraham, and what did he do? My wife has a shirt that says, stay the course. Abraham just kept staying the course. What's the course God's put in front of you this morning? What's the course? What's the path? And if you got off it, you know what's cool? God's a God of second chances. Just get right back on. We're going to pray.